I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 12th, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic is taken from the website of keepgodinamerica.com. I don't know who wrote it, so I will simply refer to the website as Dudes. They begin, "And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." 2 Corinthians 3:17. Dudes, that verse seems to contradict this verse. "You may purchase male or female slaves from among the foreigners who live among you. You may treat them as your property, passing them on to your children as a permanent inheritance." Leviticus 25, verses 44 through 46. Next, "A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell." By C.S. Lewis. Dudes, God's glory is diminished every time a child dies of starvation. A Christian woman is raped after leaving a church service. A priest cornholes a little boy. Doctors are murdered for performing legal medical services. Actually, this list could go on forever. And that is why worldwide, your God is fading faster than Zeus did 1,000 years ago. They wrote, "The Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization committed to protecting our freedom to publicly pray and express our faith in God." Dudes, it's too bad none of you good old Christian boys ever got the idea to commit yourselves to protecting the teachings of Jesus Christ, as clearly stated in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 6. I quote, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Dudes, I'm not the one calling you hypocrites. Jesus is. They wrote, "In 2005, Congressman Randy Forbes from Virginia gathered a small group of members of the U.S. House of Representatives who began meeting in room 219 of the Capitol to pray for our nation. Members still gather weekly to pray about important congressional issues." Dudes, judging by the condition that you say America is in, one has to wonder if maybe God is as pissed off as the rest of us at these representatives for wasting taxpayer money when they should be working. They continue, "Without God, there is no America." Dudes, actually America was thriving long before any of its inhabitants had ever heard of the Christian God. Then Christians invaded, killed many of the inhabitants, stole their land, and sent the survivors off to live on reservations. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided them a link to Native Americans in the United States. They continue, "Thomas Jefferson stated in a tract in which he laid out the justifications for the American Revolution, 'Can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath?'" Nice cherry picking, dudes. Here's another list of Jefferson quotes. I think we can be pretty sure we won't be seeing any of these on your website. And I gave them a link to some Jefferson quotes. Well, okay, dudes, you talked me into it. Here's one example of a Jefferson quote that will never appear on your website. And it doesn't just talk about God in general, but Christianity in particular. Thomas Jefferson, I quote, The Christian God can easily be pictured as virtually the same God as the many ancient gods of past civilizations. The Christian God is a three-headed monster, cruel, vengeful, and capricious. If one wishes to know more of this raging three-headed beast-like God, one only needs to look at the caliber of people who say they serve him. They are always of two classes, fools and hypocrites. The website continues. Today, in the name of equality and political correctness, the basic liberty to love and worship God, the God of the Holy Bible, is being undermined. Dudes, perhaps you could provide some evidence of that claim, a claim which is refuted by the existence of the First Amendment. They wrote, a vocal minority has undertaken a mission to rewrite history and force all Americans to live in a society without the God of our forefathers and without the freedoms that they acknowledged and declared God granted us. Dudes, you can't point to a single instance of where your right to worship has been attacked, and that is the proof that you are lying. But every time you attempt to invade the public square and force your religion on everyone else, the courts stop you based on the First Amendment. You are trying to claim that stopping you from forcing your beliefs on the public is attacking your right to worship. Plainly, it is not. You are the most dishonest pack of jackals in our nation. And while the founders declared that God granted us freedoms, that was before science discovered evolution, radiocarbon dating, the cosmic microwave background radiation, and countless other discoveries that prove that our founding fathers were well-intentioned but scientifically illiterate men who, like all humans at that time, attributed their existence to invisible ghosts. They continue, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. By George Washington. Well, dudes, slavery is proof that America did obey His will. I imagine the slave owners were pretty grateful for His benefits, while the slaves, maybe not so much. And it made sense to ask for His favor, since the Bible is full of stories about how your invisible ghost helps those He favors and brutally murders those He does not. What a great guy you worship. And now the website lists interesting statistics about Americans, church, and God. In America, 3,500 to 4,000 churches close their doors each year. Dudes, the age of ghost worshipers is finally beginning to come to a merciful end. The damage and horrors you people have brought to our world is immeasurable. There is nothing that can be done about the past, but your statistic is proof that there is hope for the future. Next, churches lose an estimated 2,765,000 people each year to nominalism and secularism. Dudes, in Europe, the outlook for ghost worshipers is even more bleak. America is the last great bastion of a fading death cult, and we're working on that. Next, usual Sunday church attendance has dropped from 1,606,000 in 1968 to only 881,000 in 2005. Dudes, those results are almost as bad as the decline of the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, that's right. They're a Christian organization, too. And I provided them a link to the Ku Klux Klan. Next, only 21% of Americans attend religious services every week. Dudes, from where I stand, that's 21% too many. Fortunately, as you yourself point out, that figure is dropping rapidly. Next, the proportion of the population that can be classified as Christian declined from 86% in 1990 to 77% in 2001. Dudes, guess what it is now? Next, according to Wikipedia.org and a reference to the CIA fact book, the following is the order of religious preferences in the United States, and they list five. One, Christian, 78.5%, broken down into Protestant, 51.3%, Roman Catholic, 23.9%, Mormon, 1.7%, and other Christians, 1.6%. Second, unaffiliated, 12.1%. Three, other or unspecified, 2.5%. Four, Buddhist, 0.7%, and Muslim, fifth, 0.6%. Dudes, in October 2012, Protestantism dropped below 50% for the first time in America's history. That is why Christians are becoming more desperate in their attempts to hold on to power. And now they have another list. First, those who do not attend church are more likely to feel stressed out. Well, dudes, Christians make sure of that. Next, less optimistic. Dudes, see my previous answer. Next, much less likely to believe they are making a positive difference in the world. Dudes, now that I've read your statistics, I can see that we are making a positive difference in the world. Next, less likely to be concerned about the moral condition of the nation. Dudes, that's because we don't try to force our values on others as believers do. And finally, those who do attend church are 35% more likely to live longer. Dudes, if churchgoers feel less stressed, are more optimistic, more likely to believe they are making a difference, more concerned about national morals, and more likely to live longer, yet are still leaving in droves, that should tell you something about going to church. They continue, will America continue to be the God-loving nation of people? Dudes, hopefully America will grow out of worshiping invisible ghosts and mature into rational adults. They continue, the God-loving nation of people who created a constitution that allowed all citizens to find life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness through their own efforts and sacrifices. Dudes, Christian interpretations of history, always an adventure. The Constitution did not allow all citizens to find life, liberty, and happiness. The Constitution allowed slavery to continue. It didn't allow women the right to vote until amended in the 20th century. And it never mentioned your God, not even once. They wrote, or will we become a socialist secular nation in which government will tell us what to think, what to eat, what to give, and what to believe? Dudes, you have just given a perfect example of the psychological defect known as projection. Everything you mentioned describes your religion perfectly. Your religion tells you what you can't eat. Leviticus 11 lists shellfish, pig, camel, rock badger, rabbit, eagle, vulture, buzzard, falcon, raven, crow, ostrich, owl, seagull, hawk, pelican, stork, heron, bat, bear, mole, mouse, lizard, gecko, crocodile, chameleon, and snail. Your religion tells you what to give. I believe the figure is 10%. Your religion tells you what to think and believe upon penalty of eternal torture. But beyond the things you listed, your religion also tells you a few other things, like whom to hate, whom you can kill, how to treat slaves, how to punish women and children. Maybe next time you should think first before writing down crap that is bound to bite you in the ass. They wrote, America was not created to be a nation in which it is unlawful to even mention the name of God or His Son Jesus Christ in public. In too many instances, the latter is already happening in the name of political correctness and equality for all. Dudes, you people really have a problem with that whole equality concept, don't you? Anywhere you go on earth, the most unchristian people you will find are Christians. They write, we cannot force those who believe in nothing to believe in the wondrous love and power of a forgiving and almighty God. Dudes, where did you get the goofy idea that rational people believe in nothing? We believe in many things, The main difference between us is that most of the things we believe in are provably true, whereas none of your supernatural beliefs can be proven to be true. So it seems as though you are the ones who believe in nothing. And what is this forgiving nonsense? Did you already forget the story of Noah's Ark, the Garden of Eden, or the hundreds of other stories in the Bible where God chose to murder instead of forgive? There is no God in history who could be described as less forgiving than your God. They wrote, "We can only present our case that God is the reason we experience liberty at all." Well then, dudes, your case failed miserably. Your God doesn't allow freedom. For example, try to exercise your freedom not to believe and see what happens. According to the Bible, it's off to the big barbecue forever. They wrote, "God wants us to share this message." Dudes, that's because it's the only way to keep the money rolling in. They wrote, "A songwriter once wrote, in the end, we all walk alone. On the contrary, God is with each and every one of us every moment of the day." Dude, so when a baby in Africa is starving to death, your God is there with it every second until it takes its last painful breath? Yep, that's what you just said. They wrote, "He wishes to love us for all eternity if we will only love him in return. And if we refuse, dudes, he will devote the rest of his existence to torturing us." What a great guy. They write, "It is difficult to understand why some believe this to be a hateful, exclusive message." Dudes, not if you actually read the Bible. They write, "It is an all-inclusive message if you would like to be included." Dudes, you don't even understand how stupid that statement was, do you? They wrote, "It is your personal choice, your decision alone, to accept the gift or walk alone." Dudes, after reading your Bible, I'd rather walk alone than spend even 5 minutes with that evil monster. And they conclude by saying, "Demonizing and outlawing the very thought of that personal choice and the right to talk about it will be the undoing of the most incredible and free nation that ever existed on earth." Nice prediction, dudes. I don't worry too much about predictions from ghost worshippers because their holy book is full of them. And so far, it hasn't gotten a single one right yet. The return of Jesus being only one example in a long list of failed prophecies. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, Aussie Wasp on the Hunt for Redback Spiders. A small wasp that scientists had forgotten about for more than 200 years is now making a name for itself as a predator of Australia's most common dangerous spider, the redback. The wasp was first described scientifically in 1775, thanks to samples collected in Australia during Captain Cook's first great voyage. Since then, scientists have largely forgotten about the wasp. It is widespread across Australia and can be found in a number of collections. The wasp is now being dubbed the redback spider hunting wasp, after a family in Australia discovered one of them with a paralyzed redback spider in their backyard. Florian Irwin, then aged 9, spotted the wasp dragging the spider several meters to its nest, and his father photographed the event and kept the specimens. Little is known about them, despite being distributed throughout the world. It's the first record of a wasp preying on redback spiders, and it contributes greatly to our understanding of how these wasps behave in Australia. With a body less than a centimeter in length, an adult redback spider-hunting wasp is no bigger than its prey. It stings and paralyzes the redback spider and drags it back to its nest, where the wasp lays an egg on it. The spider remains alive but is paralyzed. Once the egg hatches, the larval wasp feeds on the spider. The redback spider is an Australian relative of North America's black widow spider. It is notorious in Australia, and it has spread to some other countries, notably Japan and New Zealand. Redbacks are one of the most dangerous species in Australia, and they're mostly associated with human dwellings, which has been a problem for many years. And now for the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Carl Sagan. I won't give his biography as he has been previously quoted. This is rather a long quote. Space exploration is in financial trouble, yet by many standards, such missions are inexpensive. Many Jupiter-Saturn missions cost about the same as the American aircraft shot down in Vietnam in the week in which I am writing these words, Christmas 1972. The Viking mission itself costs about a fortnight of the Vietnam War. I find these comparisons particularly poignant. Life versus death, hope versus fear. Space exploration and the highly mechanized destruction of people use similar technology and manufactures and similar human qualities of organization and daring. Can we not make the transition from automated aerospace killing to automated aerospace exploration of the solar system in which we live?
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking!